Gospel according to Luke, 24th chapter and the 13th verse. As we're preparing our hearts to receive the Lord's Supper this morning, I want to minister to you along those lines. Let me begin to read here at the 13th verse and comment as we go. Now, the passage of Scripture that we're going to read today is the historical account of what occurred on Resurrection Day, that original Resurrection Day, just hours apparently after Jesus had risen from the dead. He had appeared to the women, but no one else had seen him. His grave was empty. Peter and John had been to the grave, and he was not there. His clothing, linens that he was wrapped in were laying in the empty tomb, but he was gone. And the story that we're going to read is the account of his appearing to two of his disciples on the road to a little town called Emmaus. And behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 60 furlongs, or about 6 miles. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holden, that they should not know him. That's curious to me, that these men should have personal contact with Jesus and not know who he was. In effect, they're experiencing a miracle. These men are having contact with a man who was dead just 3 short days before. Now he's risen from the dead. He's a walking, talking, living miracle, and here they are right in the middle of it. They're experiencing it, and they don't recognize him as Jesus. They don't recognize him as the Savior. And he said unto them, verse 17, what manner of communications are these, that ye have one to another as ye walk and are sad? And the one of them, whose name was Cleopas, or as John's Gospel records it, a Cleophas, answering, said unto them, art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and hast thou not known the things which are come to pass there in these days? And he said unto them, what things? And they said unto him, concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people. And how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Now here's a rather lengthy conversation between these two disciples and the risen Savior. And still, they do not know who he is. He's having conversation with them, and they with him. But they still do not recognize him to know him. Verse 22. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulchre. And when they found not his body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, which said that he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre and found it even so as the women had said, but him they saw not. Now what are they getting here? They're getting personal testimony. The testimony of others who had seen him and who had known him and who had recognized him, but still that testimony was not sufficient for them to recognize who Jesus was. Verse number 25. Then he said unto them, O fools, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? Isn't this what was supposed to happen? Isn't this what the Bible says? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. And here is again, another influence, the scriptures themselves, but yet not enough for them to know who this man Jesus was. They had experienced a miracle. They had had conversation with him. They had the testimony of others. They had the ministry of the word interpreted to them and declared to them. But after all of this, they still did not know who he was. Verse 28. And they drew nigh unto the village whither they went, and he made as though he would have gone further. But they constrained him, saying, abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it, and brake, and gave to them. And their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. All of a sudden, now they know him. And how did they know him? They knew him in the breaking of the bread. They did not know him through his miracle. They did not know him through conversation or through prayer, as it were. Isn't that what prayer is? Conversation with the Lord. They did not know him even though they had talked with him. They did not know him because of the testimony of others. They did not know him even when they heard the scripture about him. But when he sat down with them and he gave thanks and he broke the bread, the scripture says, they knew him. The word know here comes from a Greek word that means literally to become fully acquainted with. There was something special here in the breaking of the bread that caused them to know now who he was. Verse 32, after he was gone, they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scripture? What's occurring here? They remember that their heart was burning as they heard the word of God, as they talked with him, as they heard the testimony of others, as they experienced the miracle of God in their lives. Yes, their heart was working on that, but it was not sufficient for them to know him. I believe there are many today that are in that same circumstance. Many in our churches who have experienced the miracles of God, who have had touches of Jesus in their lives, who are conversant with him in prayer, perhaps who spend lots of time in prayer, who have heard the testimonies of others, as these heard the testimonies of the women, have sat Sunday after Sunday and Wednesday after Wednesday and other days in between and heard the scriptures explained, but who still do not know him. They know about him, but they do not know him. To have a personal relationship with him and to be fully acquainted with him. These men knew him in the breaking of the bread. And having known him, now they had a testimony of their own. And in verse 33, they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 gathered together and them that were with him, saying, the Lord is risen indeed. Indeed, for sure, we know that he's alive, not because of what the women said, not because we've experienced a miracle, not because we've heard the word preached, not even because we've been engaged in prayer, but because we have experienced him in a personal way, we have met him personally, and I can say to you that Jesus is alive and that he is indeed risen from the dead. Their firsthand experience is now shared with others. And they told what things were done in the way and how he was known of them in the breaking of the bread. What's the significance of this story? What does it mean to us? I believe it means to us this. Jesus in John's Gospel, the 6th chapter, the 35th verse said, I am the bread of life. In the 51st verse, he said, I am the living bread, which came down from heaven. And if any man will eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I give for the life of the world. Jesus, before his crucifixion, described himself as the bread of life. He said, my body is the bread that is going to be broken for the life of the world. On the night he was betrayed, and we have it recorded in 3 of the Gospels, as he gathered his 12 disciples around him, including the betrayer. And as they were eating, he did take bread. And as he took the bread, he gave thanks for it to the Father, and then he broke it. And as he broke the bread, he gave it to his disciples and he said, this is my body, which is broken for you. And I draw from this entire scenario here that we never really know Jesus until we know him in his broken body. That we can know all about his miracles and we can know all about what he's done in the lives of others, but until we know him in his broken body for us, we never really know him. We must know what he did at Calvary and what that cross really means. Shortly after I was born again, it was the winter of 1975-76, and I don't remember the exact date, but I do recall that it was in those winter months because it was dark at about 6 or 6:30 at night. And I was driving home from my office on Fulton Industrial Boulevard. I had known the Lord for 3 or 4 months. I was born again in August of 1975. And as I was driving, as I came across the Chattahoochee River and up 166 and just made ready, it's like it was yesterday. It's the occasion is so memorable to me that as I began to make a left turn on Anawakie Road, I'd been praying, just talking to the Lord. And all of a sudden, the awareness of what Calvary meant rushed in upon my soul and rushed in on my mind, and I began to weep uncontrollably. I don't know how the car did not wind up in a ditch somewhere. But when the impact of what happened at Calvary, when the impact of what occurred when the body of Jesus was broken for me, when that rolled over and rolled across my soul, it just broke me on the inside. And even though I had given my life to the Lord, it was for the first time that by the Spirit of God was revealed to my heart what his crucifixion had really accomplished for me. I've never forgotten that moment. I've never forgotten the wonder of knowing deep down in my heart what it meant to have the body of Jesus broken for me personally. I think this is what is occurring in this passage, that as he took the bread and as he broke it, instantly their eyes were opened and they knew who he was. What really broke his body that day? Did the soldiers break his body? No. The scripture is clear to tell us not a bone of his was broken. The soldiers did not break his body that day. We did. It was our sin that broke his body that day. Isaiah 53 and 5 says, he was wounded for our transgressions. It was we who broke the body. It was our sicknesses and our diseases that broke his body that day. Matthew 8:17 says, himself bare our infirmities and took our sicknesses. In Isaiah the 52nd chapter, we're told that the body of Jesus was so marred like no other man. We see Jesus pictured on the cross as a recognizable man suffering there. But that's not what happened. He was not recognizable. You would not have known him. Why? Because his body was twisted and torn with disease and sickness of all of the human race. His visage was marred more than any man. And that's what Isaiah meant in the 53rd chapter when he said, who should desire him? It was ugliness on that cross, because what was hanging there was our sin and our sickness, our disease, our infirmities, and our weaknesses. It was our confusion and our fear and our doubt that broke his body. Isaiah says the chastisement of our peace was upon him. It was our poverty that broke his body that day. It was our stubbornness. It was our selfishness. It was our death sentence that broke his body. When we see his broken body, we really see what we were and what he is. We see our substitute there. We see our sin bearer. We see his love. We see his forgiveness. We see his mercy. We see God in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them. David foresaw this in the 32nd Psalm when he said, blessed are they whose sins are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. We see our righteousness. Paul said, for he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. We see our entrance into the presence of God. For the Bible tells us in Hebrews, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, that is through his flesh. We see him never so clearly as when we see him on Calvary's cross, his body broken for us. Yes, we see him healing the lame, and yes, we see him feeding the 5,000, and yes, we see him preaching the gospel, and yes, we see him praying all night, and yes, we see him casting out devils, but we never fully know him until we know him in the breaking of his body. For if he had never gone to Calvary, if his body had never been broken for us on that cross, he would have been nothing more than a great man. But he's more than a great man, isn't he? He's the Son of Almighty God, the substitute for you and for me. In 1 Peter, perhaps you'd turn over there with me, 2 Peter actually, 2 Peter chapter 1, and reading three verses from the second. 2 Peter 1, 2. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. How is grace and how is peace multiplied to us? It is multiplied to us through the knowledge of him. And how do we know him? We know him in his broken body. Verse 3, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the what? Through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. How is his power? How does his power give us all things? Through the knowledge of him. Yes, his power gives us forgiveness. His power gives us healing. His power gives us deliverance. His power gives us prosperity. His power gives us peace. But only through the knowledge of him. Only as we come to know him. And so many even of those who've been born again know all about Jesus, but don't really know him in the brokenness of his body. Don't really know him in the sacrifice of his life. Don't really know him fully in that way. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. All of these things are ours as we come to know Jesus. You cannot know him through a bloodless or a crossless faith. So many of our churches, unfortunately, preach a bloodless and a crossless faith. You cannot know Jesus in that way. You must look at the cross. You must see him on the cross. You must know him through his sacrifice. You must come to be acquainted with him as you see him taking your own place on Calvary's cross. The scripture says that the wages of sin is death. And when we look at the cross, we see, thank God, we see it empty. And we see it as a historical reality. But if it had not been for Jesus, we would see it as a future event for whom? Us. We must see his body broken for us. There's just no other way to know him. As we come to the communion table today, as we come to the bread which represents the broken body of the Lord, as we come to the cup that brings to remembrance his shed blood for us, I want you to see him today in his brokenness. I want to pray that the Lord will open our eyes today.